It's one of the marquee matchups in American politics, the Senate race in Massachusetts between incumbent Ed Markey and Congressman Joe Kennedy III. And now we've finally seen the first direct confrontation. The two Democrats met last night in a debate broadcast on Channel 2. WBUR reporter Fred Tice was there and joins us now in the studio. Hey there, Fred.
Hey, Cal.
Also with us is Stephanie Murray, author of the Politico Massachusetts Playbook and co-host of the Horse Race podcast, which follows Massachusetts politics, policy, and elections. Welcome, Stephanie.
Thanks so much for having me.
WBUR is co-sponsoring a Senate debate next month in Springfield and the final debate before the September 1st primary, so there will be more chances to see these two candidates go at it. But first, let's talk about last night. What are the big takeaways? Stephanie, let me start with you. Who won this thing?
I don't think it's easy to declare a clear winner. So Kennedy got into this race in September, and between then and now, it's been a lot of kind of behind-the-scenes maneuvering, some endorsements, maybe a subtweet. So we finally got to see them go head-to-head on the debate stage and kind of confront each other for the first time in this semi-awkward, you know, it's two members of the Massachusetts congressional delegation going head-to-head. So I think it was tough to say a clear winner, but they've got a few more cracks at debating between now and September.
How about you, Fred? A clear winner or a draw as well?
I would say definitely a draw between the two. Markey had just, you know, pretty much did a good job of defending his record. He could refine that a bit, and Kennedy talked about how he would change the office, and so that was something that was frustrating me a little bit because I couldn't really figure out why Kennedy was in this race other than sheer ambition or maybe family dynamics, you know, just living up to the family tradition. And afterwards, we got to talk to him, and he was claiming, you know, that he could do things differently. And so finally, I happened to be the one who asked him, like, well, what would you do? And here's what some of what he said.
Look at the way that we've tried to run this campaign. We did 13 town halls last month alone. Two of them were in Spanish. The first time any candidate's done town halls in another language. I was in nearly 20 states last cycle campaigning for other colleagues and helping to flip the House of Representatives. I think the ability that comes with the Massachusetts Senate seat enables you to go around the country to build that bench, to help elect mayors and local school boards and state reps and state senators.
Okay, so what he's talking about there, Fred, seems to be the sort of energy and exuberance that he would bring to the office, sort of suggesting without directly saying it that maybe some of that is lacking with Markey. But I will note he didn't exactly say that when he was at the table with Ed Markey. One of the first questions he got was, why are you in this race? Why are you challenging someone who shares so many policy points? So that's what he told you. Let's listen to what he told everybody on TV.
This is not a swing state, and this is not a swing seat. There is a special opportunity and obligation that comes with it. Because voting the right way and filing the right bill, Mitch McConnell doesn't care. This is about making sure that, one, you are a constant presence in Massachusetts, making sure that the people across our state know that you're fighting for them and know what to care about. That you have to ensure that you're bringing everything you possibly can to restore power to a Democratic Party so that we can actually advance the causes we care about and protect the people we care about.
So what did you make of that response there, Stephanie? It seems to me that he gave a more direct answer to Fred after the debate and maybe missed a chance during the debate itself to really explain why he's in this thing.
Well, part of the reason this was so interesting to me is that throughout his political career, the kind of knock on Ed Markey has been that he's not in Massachusetts enough. He spends too much time in Washington, D.C., in Maryland. And so it was interesting to me to hear, instead of saying, and what Kennedy's been saying a lot, is that he shows up in Massachusetts more than Markey here. He says he shows up, and you have to kind of read between the lines to see that that's more than Markey. But to answer that question by saying he'd be going to 20 other states to campaign, it seemed kind of interesting when I expected the knock to be that Markey wasn't here enough, but he wants to leave the state too, I guess.
Of course, the flip side of this question is, for Markey, why should we send you back for yet another term? As we all know, he's been in Congress longer than Joe Kennedy has even been alive. Some people think a fresh face is exactly what the party needs. So here's how he responded to that line of questioning.
Well, this whole debate should be about the future. And that's what I fight for every single day. One of the big issues of today, the challenges of today, I've not only been leading, but I've been delivering with legislation which passes, which protects the people of Massachusetts and the whole country.
So how about that response there, Fred? I mean, Ed Markey is saying, well, I may not be the future at my age, but I've always been fighting for the future, and you should send me back to keep doing it.
One of the interesting things was that very early on, he signed on to the Green New Deal, in fact, was the lead sponsor, made sure that he was associated with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, someone whose name came up over and over again in his on his lips last night. And, you know, he's really trying to make this argument. He perhaps not so persuasively, because he was saying a lot to us, I am the new generation. He said that several times. And, you know, it's kind of a big step to say that he's the next generation.
In his 70s.
Right, yeah.
But he certainly aligned himself with the next generation, right? I mean, Stephanie, that seemed to me to be one of the smartest political moves that he made even before he knew that he definitely had a primary challenger. He seemed to anticipate. Maybe he looked at what happened to Michael Capuano in the Ayanna Pressley race, and he cozied up right away to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and got with her on that Green New Deal.
Ed Markey's big problem, I mean, even since he got in the Senate 6 years ago, is that he has been kind of the behind-the-scenes legislator. He's been signing on to the right bills. He's been doing the work, but he hasn't really been showing his constituents exactly what he's been doing and kind of being an out-front national figure. And so I think to protect that weak spot, he did cozy up to AOC because she is that national firebrand figure who's out there on issues, which is something that he's not been doing. And so what Kennedy's saying is, instead of cozying up to AOC and doing it this way, I'll just try to be out there and be the national figure for you myself.
So he pointed to that, Green New Deal as one of his, you know, sort of contemporary legislative accomplishments, even though it hasn't actually gone anywhere in Congress yet. He says it's reshaped the conversation, which is an accomplishment on its own. But he also was looking back to his long track record in Washington. And I want to play a key exchange from last night's debate where the two candidates kind of go back and forth with Kennedy trying to knock Markey for maybe being part of the gridlock in Washington and Markey firing right back at him. Let's listen to that.
Congress has not, the federal government has not, passed meaningful gun violence legislation in decades. When it comes to the environment, we have not. Senator Markey's been a leader on this, and he has been. But the last transformative law that was signed into the bill that was signed into law to transform the way the federal government protects the environment was signed by Richard Nixon with the Clean Air Act.
Yes, can I interrupt? Honestly, that's just not accurate. The last meaningful gun safety legislation passed in the last week of December of 2019. When my bill was actually signed by Donald Trump to begin research at the CDC that had been blocked for 25 years by the NRA. And I might say, the last environmental law, the big one, well, that was my law as well. It was the 2007 law that doubled the fuel economy standards of the vehicles which we drive. It's the single largest reduction of greenhouse gases of any law ever passed in any country in the world. So fossil fuel industry, I beat them. The gun lobby, I beat them just in December. Beat them. The law is on the books.
So this is a key exchange right here, Fred Tice. And there's sort of two parts to it. There's the gun part and the environmental part. I want to take the gun part first. This sort of spat kind of hinges on the meaningful word, right? Where, you know, Kennedy says we haven't had meaningful legislation in a long time. Just to fill in the details, that bill that Markey's talking about, which just passed in December, allocates $25 million for research on gun violence, which is going to be split between the CDC and the National Institutes of Health. And as he said, funding had been blocked, or effectively blocked, since the Dickey Amendment in 1996. So this is a Democratic victory when you've got Republicans controlling the Senate and the White House. But is it meaningful, Fred, for people who want something more like, say, an assault weapons ban?
Well, Kennedy would argue no. You know, in fact, I think he started out this whole exchange talking about how it's been 2 years since the shootings in Parkland, Florida, on Valentine's Day, nothing's really big has passed through. And it gets back to this argument between the two of them that in Mitch McConnell's Senate, nothing meaningful is going to come through. And so it's not even worth fighting the battles there. That is Kennedy's argument. And Markey pushing back, Markey, the guy who's pushed through all this legislation in all these years in the House, then the Senate, saying, no, actually, even in this environment, you can get something done, right?
So that was the gun part of it. On the environment part, I do want to come in with a little fact check here on Ed Markey's fuel economy claim. So he was talking there about the 2007 Energy Independence and Security Act, which did increase fuel economy standards, but by 40%, didn't double them, as he claimed. And it's worth noting that the standard it set for average fuel economy was 35 miles a gallon by 2020. Well, here we are. It's 2020. And if you look at the latest figures from the EPA, they suggest we're not really at 35 miles per gallon yet, even for model year cars coming out this year. So, Stephanie Murray, I mean, is it worse that Ed Markey sort of exaggerated the economy accomplishments there? Or is it worse that Kennedy wasn't really ready with a response?
Look, I mean, Ed Markey is going to talk about his record, and I mean, this is part of it. But the thing that was kind of frustrating to me as I was listening to this debate was that Kennedy and Markey kind of have the same problem right now, which is that they don't have an answer on how they are going to act in the Senate under President Donald Trump if he's reelected, and under Mitch McConnell if he stays in a Republican-controlled Senate. And both of those realities are pretty plausible. So, I mean, we can debate back and forth all of these idealized things, but when it comes to the kind of bread and butter legislating and reaching across the aisle or not, I mean, I didn't really get an answer on how to, once they're in, how they'll do the job if things are the same as they are now.
So there weren't very many policy differences between them, but one area of disagreement was on what we've come to know in Massachusetts colloquially as the People's Pledge, which is about campaign finance. Congressman Kennedy has challenged Markey to support this pledge, which is similar to one that he adopted in 2013 and 14, but he's not behind it now. Here's that exchange.
I've introduced a progressive People's Pledge for 2020 so that we deal with the era of Donald Trump. Yeah, we should have a pledge that keeps out dark money, that keeps out negative voices. But we should welcome positive voices. We should welcome disclosed contributions so that environmentalists, women's groups, labor groups, LGBTQ groups can speak. We need to have a new modern people's pledge, not an old one.
It was good enough for Senator Markey back in 2013. It was good enough in 2014 when he championed it. It's the same pledge now. You start making people, adding in voices that we like, who gets to decide which voices those are? Dark money is dark money.
So Fred Tice, can you help us referee that one? I mean, is Ed Markey right that, look, times have changed, we're in the Trump era, the rules should be different, or is he a hypocrite, which is basically what Kennedy alleged?
Yeah, I'm not going to take a side here, but I'll have to say that Markey is clearly trying to get all the groups that support him to be able to allow to have ads, you know, nice supportive ads about all the things that he's done in all these different fields. I mean, he's clearly does have the support of a lot of environmentalists, for example, and he would just love for them to come in and do some outside group advertising.
Yeah, implied but not said explicitly there, Stephanie, was that these outside groups that are saying positive things, as Markey said, they're largely groups that have endorsed his reelection, right? I mean, it makes sense. It's politically advantageous for him to maybe, you know, waver from the People's Pledge a little bit here, right?
Well, it's politically advantageous for Kennedy, too. I mean, in the last quarter of the year, he outraised Markey by $1 million. So he has a lot more money in his war chest. He's shown that he has an ability to raise more money than Markey does. So kind of cutting Markey off at the knees on these outside expenditures would work for him. But the thing that was interesting to me was Markey got asked about how this positive People's Pledge would work, and it seems like he wasn't really quite sure. And he suggested that the media would be the ones to decide who would which ads were positive or negative. And I don't know about you, Fred, but I'm not sure who that meant or what. It was confused
that to me. How did you, I don't know about you, Fred. I took that to mean that he meant that the TV stations or the radio stations would have to decide whether they're willing to air it or not based on some standard of fairness or darkness. Is that how you read it, or did you think it was?
Yeah, it wasn't quite clear. And Kennedy had a really good comeback to that. Right? He said, well, Fox News might choose this way. WGBH might decide something else. You know, this is nonsense. This is not, you know, a standard that can possibly be applied, right?
All right. Well, it was certainly a first round that was entertaining, and there are more to come. A reminder, WBUR is sponsoring two more Senate debates. There's one next month in Springfield, and we'll also have the final debate before voters go to the polls on September 1st. WBUR reporter Fred Tice, thank you so much for attending the debate last night and joining us now.
Thanks, Cal.
Our thanks also to Stephanie Murray, author of the Politico Massachusetts Playbook and co-host of the Horse Race podcast, which follows Massachusetts politics, policy, and elections. Thanks, Stephanie.
My pleasure.